Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirvan Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now on Masachet Baba Batra Daf Yod Dalad Amud Bet. And as promised in the previous podcast, we're going to take a look at a central sugya, the central sugya in the Bavli about the canon. Tana Rabbanan, Sidran Shel Nevi'im, the proper order of Nevi'im. Now this is assuming Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in the previous podcast that Nevi'im could be written all in one scroll. So the proper order is Yeshua Shoftim Shmuel Malachim. That's exactly like our Tanachim have it. Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Yeshayah, Shneimasar. So one issue we have to deal with is why the last four are put in the order they are. The first four we understand is chronological. Second thing is why Shneimasar is Shneimasar and why it's where it is. The 12 books of Nevuah that are small and put into one book. Now, let's find out. Mechte Hoshea Kadim. Hoshea, who was in Shneimasar, was the earliest of these Nevi'im. The opening pasuk of Hoshea is when Hashem first spoke to Hoshea, but the drasha in it is Hoshea diber tchila v'alom Moshe v'yad Hoshea kamen v'yayu. Hashem spoke to Adam and Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and to Moshe, etc. So how could Hoshea be the first? This is a reference to the four Nevi'im that gave prophecy in the second half of the 8th century BCE. Hoshea, Yeshaya, Amos, and Micha. The first of them was Hoshea, which is Hoshea is before Yeshaya, well before Yirmiyah and Yechezkel. So therefore, Likadmi Hoshea Bereisha. So Hoshea should be first, meaning Treyasar should be the first of those four. The answer is Kevan Dechtibin Vuate Gabi Chagai Zechari Malachi. But in the book, we also have Chagai Zechari Malachi, who are Chagai Zechari Malachi Sof Nevim Havu. They were the last of the literary Nevim. Chashiv Lavadai. Therefore, Hoshea gets dragged along, and Treyasar is at the end. So, write Hoshea separately and put it in front. The answer is, I did a zutar mirchas. Since it's small, it'll get lost. Now, Hoshea is the biggest, shares with Zechariah, the honor of being the biggest of the Shneimasar, and still the concern was it's so small, it'll get lost, which is the reason that they were put into one book of Shneimasar. Alright, so therefore, Hoshea can't be read separately, and the consideration of having Chagai Zechariah Malachi at the end, because they have end of days visions, and they are also the end of Nevuah, carries the day. Now, Mechta Yishaya Karami Yirmiyah Nechezkel, after Yishaya was a good 150 years or so, 130 years before Yirmiyah Nechezkel, so the Kadmah Yishaya Bereisha, Yishaya should be first. The answer is, Kevin, the Malachim Sofei Churbana, since Malachim ends with the Churban, with the destruction. V'Yirmiyah Kulei Churban, and Yirmiyah is all about the destruction. Well, that's a little bit unfair, but certainly the first part of Yirmiyah is about the destruction. Yechezkel Reishu Churban Maseifin Chemta. Yechezkel starts with the destruction, the descriptions of the Churban, and by the middle of the Lamids, all the way to the end is consolation and visions of the rebuilding. Yishaya Kule Nechemta. Yishaya is all Nechama, which again is a little bit overgeneralizing. Samchin Churban Churban Nechemta Nechemta. So therefore, thematically, Malachim leads to Yirmiyah, leads to Yechezkel, leads to Yishaya. All right. Sidran Shel Ketuvim, Rut v'Sefer Tehillim. The Aleppo Codex is the only Tanakh that I know of that follows this order. Iyov u'Mishle, and that we'll see switched around. Kohelet Shir Hashirim v'Kinot, Kinot Zecha. Daniel Miglat Esther Ezra v'Divrei Hayamim. Well, the Mandam are Iyov v'Mem Moshe Haya, but we'll see later on a machloket about when Iyov lived. So if Iyov lived in the times of Moshe, the Kadmi Iyov Bereisha, Iyov should be before Rut, because they were following chronological order here of the composition of these books, and Iyov would be before Rut. The answer is, we don't want to start Ketuvim with a sad story. Rut, the opening line is sad, but the story is very heroic. So Rut Nami Puranitahi, but Rut starts with the famine. Puraniti Le'acharit, it's a Puranit that has a solution at the end. Yochanan, Lamani Krashma Rut, why was she called Rut? She had Simon Menah David, she revahu Lakodesh Baruch Hu Shirot Tishpachot. Philologically and etymologically, we have a difficulty in ascertaining what the name Rut means, but the famous drasha chosen brachot also is that she was called Rut because her descendant was David, who satiated God, revahu Lakodesh Baruch Hu, with song. So Rut is a happy ending. Now, okay, that's the proper order. Umik Talan, who is the author of the books of Tanakh? Moshe Katab Sifro, which we assume means all of Chumash, U'Parshat Bilam, which is a difficult phrase because Bilam is part of Chumash. One of the explanations is that Parshat Bilam is the only parsha, the only story that takes place away from the eyes of Am Yisrael and away from Am Yisrael being in the center. V'Iyov, according to this Braita, Moshe is the author of Iyov. Yoshua Katab Sifro, Shemona Pesukim and Shabbat Torah. Yoshua wrote Sefer Yoshua, and the last eight Pesukim in the Torah, which describes Moshe's death, burial, Yeshua's investiture, and the eulogy for Moshe. Shmuel Katav Sifro V'Shoftim V'Rut. Shmuel was the author of Sefer Shmuel, which of course is difficult, just like Yoshua is difficult, because Yoshua dies and is buried towards the end of Yoshua, and Shmuel dies in the middle of Sefer Shmuel. He also wrote Shoftim and Rut. David Katav Sefer Tehillim Al Yidei Asar Azkenim. There are 10 contributing authors to Tehillim. Adam Rishon, Malki Tzedek, the famous king of Shalem, Avraham, Moshe, Heman, Yedutun, and Asaf. These were all of Levim. And Shlosha B'nei Korach. Read about them in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Vav. Alright, Yirmiyah Katav Sifro V'Sefer Melachim V'Kinot. So Echa was written by Yirmiyah. Interesting, if you take a look at Echa Gimel, you'll see some autobiographical notes there that point directly to Yirmiyah. He wrote Sefer Melachim, and he wrote his own book. Chizkiah v'Siyato katvu Yishaya, so Chizkiah and Siyato means the people around him and who followed him, wrote Sefer Yishaya. Yishaya was a contemporary of Chizkiah. Mishlei is, some of it is authored by Shlomo, some by others, but Chizkiah is the one who put it together, evidently. Shir HaShirim v'Kohelet. So Mishlei, Shir HaShirim v'Kohelet is credited to Chizkiah in this Braita, not to Shlomo. Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, which may be a lot older than we generally think, it may go back to the times of Chizkiah, Katvu Yechezkel u'Shnei Masar. Now Shnei Masar must mean that they put them together. Daniel u'Megilat Esther. And Ezra Katav Sifro, which means Ezra Nehemiah, v'Yachash HaDvarim Adlo. And all of the genealogy of Divrei Hayamim until him. All right. Now, all of this Braita, Mesayel Rav, Demrevihudam Rav, Lo Allah Ezra Mvavel Ad Shiches Etzmo V'Allah. Ezra only made Aliyah in the middle of 5th century BCE after he went through all the Yuchsin of everybody, including himself, identified the proper genealogy, and then made Aliyah. Oman Aske. All right. So then, who completed Divrei Hayamim? Nechem Ben Chechaliyah, who was a contemporary of Ezra. Alright, Amar Mar Yoshua Katav Sifro Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah. Famous line that Yoshua also wrote the last eight Psukim of the Torah. Tanya Kaman Damar Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah Yoshua Ktavan. So we have a Braita that supports. That's the Tanya. Vayamot Sha Moshe Ved Adonai, the eighth Pasuk from the end. Pasuk Hei in Perek Lamed Daled is that Moshe died. Efshar Moshe Chai V'Katav Moshe Vayamot Sha Moshe. Could Moshe be alive writing those words? What's the problem? The problem is that it's not true. So either Rabbi Yehuda or Nechemiah said, from here on in, it's Yoshua writing. So Rabbi Shimon says, it's not possible to have a Sefer Torah that's missing something. We saw this in the previous podcast, that Moshe said to the Levim, I'm giving you this Sefer Torah, right? Take this Sefer Torah and put it next to the Aron. So how could Moshe be giving them a Sefer Torah if it's a Sefer Torah chaser, which means it assumes that that Sefer Torah has everything in it, including not only this particular line, and not only that Moshe gives the bracha and the farewell and hazino and everything else, but also Moshe's description, the description of Moshe's death itself, is in there as well. So what's the solution? Ella ad kana kodesh baruch hu omer u'moshe omer v'kotev. Everything till now, Hashem says, Moshe repeats and writes down. Kan ve'elach kodesh baruch hu omer u'moshe kotev b'dema. For at this point, Hashem says, write vayamot sham Moshe, and Moshe writes. He doesn't repeat it back because it's not yet true, and he writes it with tears. The Gaon has a famous thing about b'dema, that all the words are mixed up. Dimua. We have an example of that. Vayomer lahem baruch mipiv yikra elai et kol advarim ha'ileh kotev el ha'sefer b'jo. Baruch was Yirmiyah's scribe. So Baruch said, and he said everything to me, and I'm writing it on the sefer. So in other words, he's taking dictation. Now, kaman az lahadda amar b'shubar abba amar rav gidol amar rav, whose position supports this statement? Shmona p'sukim b'shubar torah yachid korei otan. It's a gemara menachot. That the eight psukim can be read by a yachid. Now, the question is, what does a yachid mean? A big machlok rishonim. Does it mean you don't need a minion for it? Or does it mean that the same person has to get the aliyah, you can't break it up? Or does it mean that it's given to a special person? So, lema, it's Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Shimon. So it sounds like it supports Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says those eight psukim are of a different and, shall we say, less intense caliber than the rest of Torah, because they're put to writing by Yehoshua, and therefore they don't have the same rules. So it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda. No, I feel the time Rabbi Shimon, I could even Rabbi Shimon, how ill the ishtanu, and this is the Rambam's psak, that since they're different, they're different. In other words, even though Moshe wrote them according to Rabbi Shimon, since they're written from the perspective of post-Mosaic, therefore they're different and they can be read by Yachid, whatever that may mean. Okay, now Yoshua Katab Sifro, the next thing in the Brayta says that Yoshua wrote his own Sefer. At the end of Yoshua, Yoshua dies and is buried. So then, Diaski Elazar, Elazar ben Aharon finished the book. I v'aktiv Elazar ben Aharon mate. And the next pasuk says Elazar died. Two pasukim later, Diaski Pinchas. So Pinchas ben Elazar finished the book. All right. So Yeshua finished till his own death. Elazar finished that, and Pinchas finished the book. Shmuel katav sifro. The writer says Shmuel offered sefer Shmuel. I v'aktiv Shmuel mate. Shmuel died in Perak Chafhei, and then Vayamot Shmuel in Perak Chafhei, and then Shmuel mate in Perak Chafhet. So David's court prophets finished Sefer Shmuel. David katav Sefer to the Maldei Asaraz Kenim. Who are they? So he said, Avraham, it said, Avlechshav Naimi Eitan HaEzrachi. Tilim Peitet is introduced as Eitan HaEzrachi wrote it. Rabbi Eitan HaEzrachi said, Avraham, the answer is that's a cognomen for Avraham. And Avraham was listed in the list. Tivach Eitan HaEzrachi Uchtiv Hatam. This nevuah, which seems to be about Koresh, is understood to be about Avraham. Mihair mi mizrach tzedek. Who is it who brought tzedek from the east? Now, heir mi mizrach, so Eitan HaEzrachi. Kachashiv Moshe v'kachashiv Heman. Now, in your list, you listed the 10 people who contributed to him as Moshe is one of them. Heman is another. V'yamarav Heman is Moshe. We have a drush that Heman is Moshe. And in Aramaic, mehemna. So Heman means trustworthy, and Moshe is trustworthy in Hashem's house. The answer is Trei Heman Havu. There's the Heman, that's another name for Moshe, and there's another Heman. Moshe katav sifro fashar bilam v'iyov. The issue is Iyov. Messiah of Levi bar Lachma. Don't Levi bar Lachma. Iyov imam Moshe haya. Iyov lived during the time of Moshe, so Moshe wrote the book. Who will let it be that my words be written? The word efo is the critical piece. And Moshe used the same word in talking to Hashem after the Chet HaEgel to ask for the restoration of the Shekhinah. He used the word efo. But Yitzchak also used the word efo. When he looks at Esav and says, who's the one who brought me the food and took the bracha? Yaakov used it. Yaakov told the brothers, take this gift down to Yosef, to Tzafna Paneach. Yosef himself asked, by the way, at the same time, Yosef's actually before the Yaakov quote, that we're my brothers shepherding. So the word efo could be any time in Bereshit period. So lo sakadai tachtiv mi tein be'afar v'yuchaku, be'sefer v'yuchaku. Who will give that these words will be written in a sefer and be engraved? Moshe di kri mechokek. The engraver is Moshe. Tachtiv ve'yar meshit lo kisham mechalkan mechokek safun. In the bracha of God, Moshe himself says that that's where the mechokek is buried, because Moshe dies and is buried in God's territory. So, according to that, Iyov is b'mei Moshe. Moshe, Rav Amar, Iyov b'mei Meraglim haya, which is the during the time of Moshe, but a particular epoch, which is the times of the Meraglim. Chtiv hacha ish haya be'eretz Utz, Iyov shmo. Iyov is in the land of Utz. Chtiv ta'atam, what does Moshe say to the Meraglim? Hayesh ba eitz. So, midami, hacha Utz, hatam eitz. Different words. One's a name, one's trees. Hachim Rav Moshe l'Yisrael. That's what Moshe said. Yeshno to adam shishnotav rukot ka'eitz u'megin al doro ka'eitz. There's a man that you'll see there who lives as long as a tree and protects his generation like a tree. That's Eov. So he alludes it to by saying Yesh, Hayish Ba'etz. Yativ Amur Rabban, I come in of Shmuel Bar Nachmani. So one of the students was sitting in front of Shmuel Bar Nachmani. Eov lo yavlo nivra l'mashaliyah. He says Eov didn't really exist. The story is a fabrication, meaning that this is the way, by the way, the Rambam Mor Nevuchim accepts this position, that Eov is written in order to present different philosophies of understanding theodicy, but the story itself about Eov and his 10 children and everything else, and God and Satan, and then Eov having the beautiful girls at the end, is all a fabrication. Eov shmo. He said, in encountering you, the Pasuk says it was a guy by that name and lived in that place. So Elamiyata Larasha and Kol Kim Kivsachak Tanasha Kanava Yechayaha. So the student said back to Shmuel Mar Nachmani, here when Natan comes to David and tells him the whole story about the poor man's ewe, that didn't happen. Just because it's written in the text doesn't mean it happened. It could be presented as a metaphor. That's a famous juridical parable. Miyave el mashal ba'alma. Chanan mashal ba'alma. So the same thing with Eov. So imkein shmo v'shem yiro lama. So then the Rebbe said to his students, so why does the text tell me his name and the name of his city? Right, so that's his counter. Yochanan Rabbi Elazar d'amri tavayu. They say something really interesting. Eov me'ole golam ba'vaya. That Eov was one of the people who returned to Eretz Yisrael from the Golah. Uveit midrasho b'tveria. And his beit midrash was put in Tveria. Interesting, because it was said by Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, whose Beit Midrash was in Tveria, and by the way, who lived very, very sad lives. Rabbi Yochanan, you know, buried 10 of his children, and it could be that they saw themselves as sort of akin to Eov. That Eov lived from the time that Am Yisrael entered Mitzrayim until they left. So that means that Eov was not in the times of Moshe. He was dead when Moshe came around. Doesn't mean during that time, in that length. So it's 210 years, however, 400 years, 430 years, whatever cheshbon you take, that's how long he lived, but not during that time. There are seven prophets to the nations. Bilam, ve'aviv, because it's called Bilam ben Beor. Eov, Eliphaz ha-Temani, v'Eldada ha-Shulchi, v'Tzofar ha-Mati. Those are Eov's three buddies. Ve'Eliyahu ben Berachel, the guy who comes in at the end of Eov to castigate all of them, Abu Zib. So we have seven Nevi'im. So V'Tamech, Eliyahu ben Berachel, the Abim Yisrael, he wasn't Yisrael. Aktiv, mi-Mishpachat Ram. He says he's from the family of Ram, who's one of the families of Yehuda. Ela Inbui Inbi L'Motolam. He was Jewish, but he gave Nevuah to Motolam. Hachinami Eov Inbui Inbi L'Motolam. So the same thing, Eov was Jewish, but he gave Nevuah to Motolam. So Atu Kulu Nevi'im, Miloi Nambi L'Motolam. What are you talking about? All the prophets gave prophecies to the rest of the world. So Hatam Ikun Nevi'utai L'Yisrael. But most of them, their main Nevuah, Yeshaya, etc., their main Nevuah was to Yisrael. And they gave some to Motolam. Read the first chapter of Amos. Hacha Ikun Nevi'utai L'Motolam. These seven, their main Nevuah was to Motolam. So Meitevei Chasid Ayam Motolam V'yov Shmo V'lo Balolam L'Kabel L'Kabel Scharo. There was a righteous man among the nations. His name was Eov. And he came in order to get his schar. Hashem punished, gave him afflictions. He started cursing, which is no way in the text, of course. So Hashem gave him lots and lots of good stuff in this world to take away his schar in Olam Haba. So the question is Eov Jewish or not? That's kind of the critical piece here. The answer is it really depends when he lived. According to Rabbi Elazar, he lived during the times of the Shoftim. Shinemar, Hein Atem Kochem Chazitem Velamazah Hevel Tebalu. Eov says to his friends, you've seen everything, why are you saying nonsense? Ezador Shekulo Hevel, what's a generation of nonsense, of vanities? Ezador Shoshvot HaShoftim. That's the during the Shoftim when they're doing Avodah Zarah. Shemekar Chomer Eov Bimei Achashvero Shaya. Much, much later, Shinemar, Velo Nitzam Nashim Yafot Kivnot Eov B'chol Haaretz. They were the most beautiful girls. This is after Eov was restored. His daughters, Karen Apuch, the other girls, were the most beautiful. So what generation were they looking for beautiful girls? So if that's the case, then maybe David's time. There they looked only in Am Yisrael. In Chashverosh's time, they looked throughout the land, and Eov's daughters were the most beautiful in all the land. Of course, that raises the question, why weren't Eov's daughters taken to Chashverosh? Rabbi Natan Omer, Eov b'mei Malchut Shva haya. He lived during the times of Malchut Shva. Shnamar v'tipol Shva v'tikachem. In the description of the beginning of Eov, of the destruction that befalls him, an army from Shva comes and takes all of his cattle. Chamomim Eov b'mei Kastim haya. Shnamar Kastim samu shlosha rashim. Again, part of the report that the messengers come to Eov, Kastim came in three different divisions and attacked. Shnamar Eov b'mei Yaakov haya. V'dina bat Yaakov nasai. His wife was Dina. When Eov's wife, who has no name in the text, says to Eov, curse God already and die, he says, you'd speak like a lowlife. In the rape of Dina, it's called the Nevala, so the comparison of the words. But all of these Tanaim hold that Eov was Mi Yisrael, except for the Yesh Omrim, that says that he that that Dina married him. This is why it's in a Tiyufta. Because if all these people say that Eov lived after Moshe, there was no Shechina on the non-Jews after Moshe. There was no Nevuah given to non-Jews after Moshe. And if Eov was had Nevuah, therefore his words are in Tanakh, therefore he must have been Jewish. The three requests that Moshe had after the eagle, one of them was Hashem should put a Shechina on Israel, and should not put a Shechina on the Kochavim. We want to be distinct and special. So all these positions indicate that Eov had to be Jewish, except for the one that says that that he lived before the times of Moshe and that he married Dina. I'm Rav Yochanan. Okay, we'll stop at this point, and we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem in the next podcast, and we'll go take through this long piece about Eov and take our way to the end of the parak. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.